Now, Brother Jim Redling.
Now, we notice as we looked on Sunday morning, the eternal God, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit, for an eternal purpose. And what a great thing it is to see God's purpose for each one of us. And tonight in the lesson, once again, I think we will see God's great grace given to us. Grace means unmerited favor, something we don't deserve, but something God gives to us. Then we notice the original creation, the chaotic state, and then the creation again. We notice that was called the gap theory. We also mentioned the canopy theory, which we will not go into again tonight. And then we notice also the evolution theory. Now, each one of these are theories, and one day when we get to heaven, we're going to know all about creation, because we're going to be able to ask the Creator how all of these things come to be. Now, as we go into our chapter tonight, we meet Adam and Eve as they had sinned in the garden. That's where we left them last night. Remember, we noticed that Satan himself was enclosed in a book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, where he was covered with precious stones. And God stripped him because he thought in his heart he would extend his throne over the throne of God. And tonight, even Satan himself, this is his great aim in life, to have men and women worship him. And that's why in the last days, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we notice a great movement in demon worship. And there's a lot of people that are worshiping demons tonight in the United States and other countries as well. One little girl that was saved from this cult that's going around the world in one of the islands in the South Sea, she said that she saw them sacrifice a little baby to the demons and to devils. And beloved, we don't think in 1982 that this could happen, but it is happening, and Satan wants followers for himself. And that's why he was taken from being the covering cherub and cast down and stripped of his covering. Then we notice that Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden. God did not make Adam and Eve a robot that they might just be pulled by strings and do exactly what God would have them to do. He gave them a free choice. And each man and each woman have an opportunity to either receive the Lord Jesus Christ or refuse him, to either be born again or to choose to go on the devil's side and follow him, to follow the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and so on. God gives us an individual choice. And as we'll see in the lesson tonight, how wise God was, even when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, that he gave them this choice. We showed you that Adam and Eve were clothed like God. As the book of Psalms says, 104 and verse 3 and 2, it brings out that God covers himself with light. He has a garment of light around him. Adam and Eve had that light, and they were the children of light. But when they chose to disobey God, that light fled from them, and they were found naked. And they sewed to themselves fig leaves to cover their naked bodies. And of course, this speaks of work. And a lot of men and women are trying to get to God tonight by work. But we're not saved by work. We're saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to the end, and we see at the great white throne, God says to those that are before that great white throne, you're going to be judged according to your work. And the books are going to be opened. Sometimes I think us Christians make a mistake when we say to even a Christian or to a lost person, you're not going to be judged for your work. But beloved, that's a mistake. God tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, that the Christian is going to be before the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation now, but for reward. And we're judged according to our work, the Scripture says. That's not my words, that's what God says. According to your work, 2 Corinthians 5. Then when you get to the book of Revelation and it speaks at the great white throne judgment, men are going to be judged on their work. The books are going to be open. The book of life is going to be open. The book of books is going to be open. I believe the Bible is going to be there. The book of life is going to be there to see if your name is recorded in the book of life. And God's going to judge you according to your work. Why will he judge you according to your work? Because you rejected the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you're either trusting your own works tonight, or you're trusting the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I had my eyes opened up, that I saw that my works weren't worth very much. And so I turned my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and tonight I'm not trusting in my works or my righteousness, but I'm trusting in His work and His righteousness. And it's much better to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our soul than trust ourselves with it. Now we notice when we get into the Garden of Eden, they were clothed with the garment of life, but they were stripped of that garment. They were found naked, as Satan himself is found naked tonight. As you noticed in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel last night, we noticed that beautiful covering that Satan was covered with all those precious stones. But beloved, he was stripped because he sinned. Now sometimes when we look at sin, we think that sin has to be a terrible thing, a great act of disobedience to God. But I want you to notice what God says even in His Word in the book of Isaiah about Satan. He never fulfilled what he wanted to do, but he only thought it in his heart, in his mind. He thought in his mind, I will extend my throne over the throne of God. I will. And five I wills in the book of the Isaiah will never come true because Satan said in his heart, I will. And beloved, just because of the thought of doing this to God, he lost his covering spot of being the great cherubim as he was. Now we realize that Satan was a beautiful individual. And I'm surprised as I travel over the country how many people aren't fooled by Satan, thinking that he's the one with pointed ears and having on a red suit and a long tail and a pitchfork in his hand, and he's always jabbing each individual. But beloved, we have the wrong impression of Satan. I want to say this tonight. Satan is not omnipresent. May I say that again? Satan is not omnipresent. Omnipresent means everywhere at once. Now, sometimes we feel that Satan is around us at all times. But I want to say something tonight, and I said, but I doubt if anyone in this room has ever been tempted by Satan himself. You might say, wait a minute, you've never been with me. Well, it seems like the devil's on my back all the time. Oh, no. The devil is not omnipresent. Now, my Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that the devil's in the presence of God accusing the brethren daily. And if he's up there, he's not down here. Well, you say, who in the world is doing this? Well, we find like the Apostle Paul, the great apostle. Now, you have to be greater than the Apostle Paul if you think Satan has ever dealt with you. Because even Paul himself, when he speaks about Satan, he says, a messenger of Satan buffeted me. He didn't say Satan. He said, a messenger of Satan buffeted him. Beloved, when you're tempted of Satan, you're buffeted by one of Satan's servants. As you get to the chapter of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, you notice a way where it tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the air. And of course, we find in Ephesians 2 that even spirit that works in the children of disobedience, this spirit is the devil's spirit. But he has henchmen from the generals, the colonels, the majors, the captains, and so on and so forth, right down to the privates. Probably I've only had a private deal with me. That's all Satan has to have. Get after me. And he gives me a lot of trouble. Maybe you have a sergeant or a captain because you're more spiritual than I am. And you have this one dealing with you. Remember even Daniel himself, when he was praying, it said that the angel of God was coming down to answer Daniel's prayer. But one of Satan's angels hindered him from coming to Daniel. It wasn't Satan that hindered him. It was Satan's angel hindered him. And Michael had to come and free that angel so he could continue on and answer Daniel's prayer. Beloved, never make the mistake that the devil is omnipresent. He would love you to think that he's everywhere at once. No, he's not. He's a limited being. He's a created being, as we see in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. God calls him a man and not a god. He's just one of God's servants that has gone astray. The angels themselves are already judged. You won't find the angels, although they are going to be judged by us, the church. But you don't find the angels at the great white throne judgment. We notice that the angels that fell with Lucifer are already condemned. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when he cast out the demons, remember, they said, are you here to torment us before the time? They knew they were already judged. They know that tormenting is before them. And the devil knows that his hour is
at hand, he knows that he only has a short time left before the tribulation period takes place. Because, beloved, I believe the church could be raptured at any moment. I believe we're right at that time, right at the threshold where the Lord Jesus Christ will come for his very own. Isn't it going to be a wonderful thing to be with him? But what a sad thing if the Lord would come tonight and you don't know him as Lord and Savior and you'd be left behind. Oh, beloved, I'm glad I'm saved. But we notice that Adam and Eve were stripped of their garments. Then we notice the Lord Jesus Christ himself allowed men in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew to strip him as he was in that common hall. They stripped him of his clothing, and God, who is God manifested in the flesh, was stripped for you and me that we might be clothed upon. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He went through the shame by the hands of men that he might redeem us. And beloved, every child of God that is saved is clothed once again with the garment of light. The book of Colossians tells us we're the children of light and not the children of darkness. Darkness came into the Garden of Eden. Darkness flooded Eden as there they sinned. God knew where Adam was when he hid himself from God, and God knows where you are. He knows your spiritual condition, and he knows that you need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what was God's remedy to once again clothe Adam and Eve? Pointing to the cross of Christ, God was the one who said to them as he saw those fig leaves. And you know, it always amuses me when I read that about Adam and Eve clothing themselves with that garment of fig leaves in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. It always makes me amazed because, you know, it says when God laughed in the Bible. And I think this is one place where God had a time to wipe his face from not bursting out into a big laugh. Because he saw Adam and Eve after they had sinned and taken up that fruit. You know, a lot of people think God was taken unaware. And all of a sudden he had a device, some kind of plan of salvation. God knew it was all going to happen. He knew man was a failure. And beloved, when you go through this chart from the beginning of the Garden of Eden right over to the millennium reign of Christ, you will find out that man is a failure. Now, I know there's a preacher that tells us that we shouldn't tell people that they're sinners, and we should give them a good, positive look at themselves and positive thinking, that we don't want to depress anybody, and we might want them to see how good they are. Beloved, the Bible shows us that we are sinners without God. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're on the right place, and we are happy. And a man will be happy. And when a man is brought to the place of sin and he sees himself as a sinner and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and gives that life to him, God clothes him with the garment of light and he feels great. Every Christian feels great. Every person that's born again has a new spirit within him and he has a new life. That's why the old habits of the old life just fall off. Because there's a new dimension of living. You want to read the Bible. A person that isn't saved, they don't want to read the Bible. Why? Well, they can't understand it. You see, if you can't understand this Bible, it's because you're still blinded by sin. God never opens up the eyes of a sinner to understand his book until they look for salvation, and then he gives them a limited light that they might see salvation, and when they accept Christ as their Savior, then he opens up their eyes, and the next morning they start to read that Bible and say, I never saw that before. And it was there all the time. Why? Because God the Spirit has come in and is revealing to you what is in the book. Garments that they made. And a lot of people are trying to cover their sins by their own garments. But we can't get saved by our works of righteousness. Let's just take the time for a moment to turn to the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. And I know we could quote this verse, and you could quote it in your minds as well, but I think a lot of times it's good to turn to it. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And now notice the next part. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Beloved, when you receive the gift of God, you have to receive it as a gift. You receive it. You don't have to work for it. If you do one thing for it, it's not a gift. It's only a gift when it's given to you. Many times I say to boys and girls trying to get this over to them, I say to a boy or a girl, here, I'll go up and I'll just take a quarter or a dollar out of my pocket. I'll just walk up to a child and I'll say, here, do you want this? And they take it. And I say, now, that's a gift. But I said, you know, these things that I'm giving away over here, that's not a gift. That's a reward, or you have earned it because of the rules set down. See, the one that gets it tonight brought seven. Now, he gets it because he worked. It's not a gift. He worked for that. I couldn't say to him, I gave you that. No, he worked for it. Beloved, when God gives salvation, it's a free gift. And if we don't accept it as a free gift, we'll never be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Adam and Eve tried to get saved by their own works, by putting on a garment. And no doubt, as I said, God had a smile when he sold those fig leaves together and said, that'll never work. That'll never work. And I think sometimes God smiles at us when we try to get saved some other way. And a lot of people are trying to get to God some other way. Some other way. But, beloved, the only way we can come to Christ is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that we join a church isn't to be saved. It is because we are saved. We want to affiliate ourselves with other believers. The reason we are baptized is because we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go down in that waters of baptism, we are saying that we're dead with Christ and we're risen with Christ. And we're seeking those things which are above. As we take Holy Communion, we're not saved by taking Holy Communion. We take it because we have believed in the death, burial, and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we break that bread, we put it to our mouth, we remember that His body was broken for us. When we take the cup, we remember that His blood was poured out for us. And, beloved, we're remembering what He did for us. But it doesn't save us. What saves us? When we believe, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and life. Notice what it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, if there was some works that we could be saved by, heaven wouldn't be heaven. It would be a real hell. You know why? Because you'd hear this dear lady over here say, here, I'm here because I did so-and-so. And this man would get up and say, I'm here because I gave so much to the community church. And another fellow said, oh, I gave 50 pints of blood in my life to the Red Cross. And I fed the hungry of the world. And all heaven would be a bunch of boasters. And God doesn't want anybody to boast about themselves. He wants us to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Just boast in Christ. Not boast in our church. Not boast in our church membership, but boast in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And beloved, we notice that here, Adam and Eve then had to be clothed by God. Notice what it says in the book of Genesis. Now, go back to the book of Genesis, a verse that we had last night. Notice the 21st verse. It says of the third chapter, unto Adam and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. They were unclothed. Beloved, He clothed them with an animal skin, looking forward to the time when His Son would die on the cross of Calvary and clothe us with the garment of life once again. Everything that man lost in the Garden of Eden, the Lord Jesus Christ brings back in the new heaven and the new earth. Everything that was there is brought back once again in a better scale, without sin and sorrow, a place that's called heaven. Isn't it a great thing to see what Jesus Christ did by the sacrifice? But God was the first one to shed the blood. This dispensation of innocency. Now, let me say this by the dispensation of innocency. Man is in the garden innocent. And you know, a lot of people say today, if we could only get employment all over the world, and everybody had a job, and everybody had a good income, and everybody had a home, and everybody had everything that they needed, we wouldn't have any robbery, we wouldn't have any mistrust, we wouldn't have any adultery, we wouldn't have any fornication, we wouldn't have any stealing. It'd just be a perfect place to live. Well, beloved, let's see. God started out in a perfect place, and it became sinful. By one man, sin entered into the world. Now, sometimes we wonder about that. Let's turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, and notice what God says here in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans, the 5th chapter, and we notice that God brings out something in that 12th verse that is very striking, and we might question this. But you know, as it says in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, nor His ways our ways. He's so much more intelligent than we are. He knows so much more than we are, and we're nothing to Him, and we can't understand His ways. But you notice what it says in that 12th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Beloved, every one of us has sinned. From the preacher up here, myself, right down to the preacher in the front row, and every one of the sinners, right to the very back, all of us are sinners. Now, some people don't like to hear that. But God said it. I didn't. I don't know why people get angry at me when I tell them they're a sinner. Because it's not my words. I'm just a parrot. I'm telling you what God said. That's what I am, as a servant of God. Telling you what the book says. That's what a preacher is. He shouldn't be telling what he thinks. He should be telling what the Word of God says. That's why I believe in using so much Scripture. It's what God says and not what I say. It says, for whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, why did God allow sin to enter by one man? You know why he did it? So one man could take it away. So one man could take it away. The Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the last Adam, or some call the second Adam, as it's in the second book of Corinthians. But beloved, here's why God allowed it. If it would be on individual basis, say God said, well, I'll just allow sin to enter when each one commits the sin. If God would have allowed it to happen that way, when he sinned and became a sinner, then Jesus Christ would have had to die for him alone. When our sister here, our organist, who played the organ, when then she made a choice to choose sin, then after she sinned, Jesus Christ would have to die for her. And he would have had to die for each one in this room separately. But God allowing sin to enter into the world by one man, he could remove sin, praise God, by one man. Do you see God's wisdom? God's not stupid like we are. He knew when Satan thought he had Adam and Eve down in the corner and that he had the great room, God just smiled once again and said, well, I have a plan. I'll allow sin to enter the world by one man and I'll take it away by one man. And beloved, that's the way of the cross. And God starts off this new dispensation as the dispensation of innocency with the blood of an animal. He starts out with a blessing. But each dispensation with man ends with a curse. As you go through the Bible this week with me, you will find out that each dispensation ends with a curse. It started with a blessing. Man didn't have to work for his living. He didn't have to do anything, just be in that wonderful garden with his wonderful wife. And she was going to be the mother of all living. Beloved, that's what the Scripture says. Because he called her named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. She was going to bring forth children into the world. But they sinned. When the sin was passed upon them, God put them out of the garden. And the reason he did it is with this mind in view. There was another tree there, the tree of life. And if they would have gone up and eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived in sin forever and there would have been no remedy. So God put the cherubim there, and with a flashing sword, and drove them out of the garden that they wouldn't touch of the tree of life. God did it for man's protection. For when we get the new heavens and the new earth, the tree of life is there, and we can eat of that tree because we're not going to be in sin anymore. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name, beloved. We're like Christ. Aren't you glad of that? Those that are redeemed. Now you notice, the devil himself is here in the garden. We notice that the serpent goes up into the air. He's in the air in the heavens tonight accusing the brethren. Also the death line passed upon all men. God put them out of the garden, and it started with the blessing, with the slaying of the animals that he clothed Adam and Eve. And each dispensation starts with the blood of an animal. But this dispensation, it doesn't end up with the judgment of man, but it ends up with the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ taking the judgment for the whole world. Then the church age starts in which we are living tonight. And, beloved, we don't want to get too far in the chart. But we notice here, they had the light of creation. A lot of times people worry about the heathen. But the book of Romans, the first chapter in the 20th verse, takes care of about the heathen. It has the nature itself to show to them that there is a God. There is no excuse for anybody not being saved. Now, they might not know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but beloved, God judges a man on the life that he has. Remember that. God judges a man on the life that he has. A missionary told me one time, he was over in Africa, he came to a village that had never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was many years ago. And he said he saw these people gathering together to remember the God of heaven. And he found out that they were worshiping the God. And he told them about Jesus Christ. And he said, we've been praying to this God and he revealed to us himself. Beloved, they were already believers. But when they found out that he had sent his Son into the world to die for us, they accepted him immediately. And the church of Jesus Christ was born. Beloved, that even themselves has nature to tell them that there's a God. Every one of us here have no excuse not being saved in America. We've heard the gospel. We have nature itself to tell us that there is a God. There's no excuse for us not being a born-again believer in Christ. And so we notice the Lord God of heaven gives them the light of creation. Right over here, the light of creation. Then he gives them the light of conscience. And let me bring in with conscience right here, the innocency. You know, in innocency, a lot of people say if we had a perfect environment, like I mentioned, there wouldn't be any sin. Well, beloved, in a perfect environment, we notice that there was sin. And you could get the earth perfect today and put us in the same condition that we are in, and we make a mess of it. Because we're polluters, we're sinners, and we need to be converted to God. And God is the only one that can straighten out this mess that this world's in. No matter what politician sits in the White House, or in Russia, or in England, or no matter where else in the world, they'll never be able to solve the problems of the world. But there is one that's coming that will give the world, it looks like, the light hope. And that's what they're looking for tonight. Like Mr. MacArthur said many years ago, Ginger MacArthur, he said, what we need over this world is one man to rule it. And if we had that one man to rule it, and everybody obeyed his voice, we'd have an utopia. But beloved, the one man will not come until the Lord Jesus Christ is of his race on the millennium, on the earth for a millennium, 1,000 years. Now we notice the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the innocency, that they sin. Man was a failure. He starts out with the blood of the animal. Then he gives them the light of creation and the light of conscience. He gives you a conscience to show you and to convict you of your sin. The first time you do something wrong, you're convicted and you hardly can sleep. The first time a thief comes along, and you know it only takes you to steal one thing to be a thief. It only takes you one act of sin to become an adulterer, a fornicator, or a murderer. If he's a little man that you murder, the judge doesn't care. If you kill a man, no matter how small he is, you become a murderer. When you tell one lie, you become a liar. You don't have to tell 10 lies to become a liar. You just have to tell one. I'm trying to go so fast, but good, I don't have false teeth. But anyway, they get stuck together. But you know, we know all we have to do is one, and we become a sinner. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ shows to us through his blessed Son that he can remove that sin. When we become a sinner, the light of conscience is there. It shows us that we sin. All the first time a person steals something, oh, they take it and they stick it in their pocket and they walk out. And during the night, they just think, I wonder if the policemen are coming. And they worry. Oh, it's a terrible thing the first time you steal. I've talked to thieves. They said, the first time I stole something, I thought the Lord was going to strike me dead, but I'm still alive. And then, you know, the next day they saw something else and they stole that. And their conscience didn't bother them as much. And then they did it again and their conscience wasn't as much. And again, and their conscience wasn't as much. Beloved, do you realize this is the same way with the Spirit of God? When we are saved, God gives the Spirit to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And when we ask Him, Lord, can I do this? The first thing, if it's wrong to do, the Holy Spirit says, no! We hear Him loud and clear. And then the next time we go back and say the same thing, Lord, can I do this? No! And the next time we go back, no! And the next time, no! The next time, no. And the next time we ask him, we can't hear it. And we do it. That's exactly what conscience is. Beloved, the first time a girl commits adultery or fornication, her conscience is awful, and your conscience tells you wrong. But man did not follow their conscience. Instead of following their conscience, they went deeper and deeper in sin. And then God gave them the light of promise, that he would send a Messiah, as we see in the book of Genesis, the third chapter. He would send a Messiah, and the first child that Eve had, she says to her husband, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she thinks it's the Messiah. And that one sheds the blood, but doesn't shed the blood of himself. The first boy born into the world becomes a murderer. The second boy born into the world becomes the victim. Sin came in full grown into the world. It doesn't come in just by a little bit. It comes in full grown. Oh, how Adam and Eve suffered. It wasn't the blood that God promised them in the Garden of Eden that he would give to them to cleanse them of their sins, but rather it was the blood of their second child that they saw shed. And God dealt with Cain and said to Cain, where is thy brother? He said, am I thy brother's keeper? God says, the blood of thy brother has cried from the ground. Beloved, when a man murders a man, right away that blood is spilled on the pavement of the earth. His blood cries out to a holy God, and God knows the murderer. The murderers might get away with the judges down here. They might walk the streets free, but they're not going to get away with it with God. But thanks be to God, he will cleanse the murderer's sin and make him a new creature. Paul the Apostle, the murderer, could say, I'm the chief of sinners. And if God could save the chief of sinners, he could save you and he could save me. That's why the book of Corinthians, the fifth chapter, brings up, and such were some of you. But thanks be to God, we're not anymore. I've heard of a murderer getting saved, and he said, I was a murderer. But praise God, my sin is gone. I've heard a man say, I committed adultery. But he says, I'm saved now, and I'm not an adulterer anymore. Another man said, I was a thief. But praise God, I'm not a thief anymore. Jesus Christ saved me. Beloved, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we get forgiveness and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, as God was even showing Adam and Eve, as his blood was shed there in the garden when he clothed them, that he would clothe us with righteousness. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be saved tonight and to know that Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin? And beloved, remember that's what Jesus did. He took all the darkness of the world. And you notice each part of the chart, some people think it's a mistake because the chart has a little black blob there, and then one here, and one here, and it goes up to the cross. Well, beloved, what that's showing, it starts with a blessing, but it ends with a judgment. And tomorrow night we're going to start right here. We're going to take both of these two together, for I've gone a little bit longer in my introduction tonight. But you notice God brings to us the judgment that's upon the earth, but thanks be to God, the judgment fell on Christ and doesn't have to fall on us. Oh, beloved, if you've sinned here tonight, and we've all sinned, but if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I accept your death, I accept your blood at the cross of Calvary to cleanse me from all sin, tonight right where you sit, you can be saved. Isn't it wonderful? You can receive the forgiveness of sins by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Maybe there's one here tonight that would just like to step from death onto life, that you'd like to be born again by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that can take place right now if you just turn that life over to him. Shall we pray? Father, maybe there's one right now that would like to be saved. Maybe there's a girl, a boy that has sinned. Their consciences show them they've sinned. Many are their sins, and Father, they've been plagued with it. They can't sleep because of it. But Father, you could give them a good night's rest if they'll just come to thee tonight and receive thee as Lord and Savior. Oh, we just pray if there's someone here without Christ, that tonight they might be saved. Bless us through the invitation we do ask in Jesus' name.